All right, we are in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going verse by verse through this passage of Scripture. Father, we thank you, O God, for your word as we come to it. We thank you that the word of God, Lord, is quick, it is alive, and it is powerful. And it brings about change in our lives. By this word, we were born again, the seed of the word of God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as we look at your word, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in illuminating us and giving us understanding, wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of our precious Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We looked at last week, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Which reads, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." And so we were looking at how at Paul's instruction to the Ephesian Christians, who were surrounded, as we are surrounded and influenced by our culture. And we probably much more so than they, being that you don't even have to leave your house to be inundated by our culture through radio and all the media that we have at our disposal. You can sit in your house and see Ephesus. You can go to Ephesus sitting in your house. You can go to Corinth and Philippi and all those ancient places, but you can also be impacted by so much. And so Paul was saying to them that this is that no person who lives this way has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And I was trying to share with you how that the way one lives is determined by origin, by whose you are and the one who created you. And so Paul and I took us through some scriptures last week. I want to go further in verse 8 as we'll look further into as Paul is going to extrapolate and begin to detail somewhat why they're not to live that way. And I said to us last week, why are we not to live the way Paul just described to us? And while it would be tempting to say we shouldn't live that way because we're going to receive judgment, that is true, but that's not going to be the motivating factor. The motivating factor, and Paul gets to it in the next verse. Verse 8 reads, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You are light in the Lord. And then he says, "Walk as children of light." And so, who you are determines how you will live. Sinners sin because they are sinners. Amen. That's true. Sinners sin because they are sinners. And so it's who they are that determines what they do. Children of God walk in the light because they're children of light. Because they're children of light. Now what I want to get after and Paul, I believe, is getting after here is that so much of our time can be spent on what we are to do. Remember I told you when I first got saved, the first thing that happened to me, I went to church, and then I started hearing people say, "Well, you need to read your Bible, and you need to pray, and you need to come to worship, you need to be, you need to be here, you need to fast, you need to be here." I remember one lady, I forget who it was, one lady went to a church, and they had a 5 a.m. prayer call or circle or thing, and the pastor wanted people there. And she attended for a little while, and then she couldn't attend any longer. And he said, well, you need to get on the phone and you need to be a part of this prayer circle. But her schedule and her job was such that she couldn't. She needed rest. And she says, Pastor, I'm sorry. And he said, okay, then. You got to get out of here. Hit the door. And it was all about what you do, not who you are. That was a daughter of the King, a child of God, a child of God. And so after laboring that, we all have been affected by that, some extent to another in our lives. But I'll never forget the day when the Lord, when you fall and you just make a, you fall like a little baby messing a diaper and you stinking and you laying in it and the whole bit. And you just a mess. You just a mess. And the Lord comes just like a mother would, pick up that stinking foul child and pick up that child and just hug that child, love that child. Don't you worry about a thing, baby. I'm going to clean you all up. And she lay him down. Listen, the baby can't clean himself. The baby can't do any. All it knows how to do is poop. That's all it does is eat and poop, eat and poop, eat and poop. But it's the mother. The mother comes, loves, in spite of all that mess all over you, the mother comes, picks you up, loves you, and while you're in your mess, cleaning the mess off, loving you and showering you, baby thinks it's the greatest thing on planet Earth, thinks it smells, and no, it's stinking the high. It's just stink. But that's what God does. When I was in my mess, and God came to me and said, son, he said, I don't love you anymore now than I did when you were walking right. He said it was never about your walk. It's never been about you. It's always been about me. And that day, my life changed. My eyes opened up. I said, what? He's like, it doesn't matter how much you read your Bible. It's not whether or not you fast. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It's not how long you worship. It's none of that. Because, son, you weren't doing any of that when I saved you. You were in your mess. You were in your funk. And you need to know that this whole thing is about me. I said, whoa, wait a second. My life changed that day. I said, well, hold on. And now, and I still hear preachers preaching. I still hear preachers preaching. And they said, you need to do this. And I said, oh, Father, help us. Help us, Jesus. Because we still, I'm talking nationally known preachers. They're on TV, you need to do it. And if you don't know this, I just heard one the other, if you don't know this, you can't get God to move for you. I thought to myself, Lord, wait a second. We're into getting you to move for us? Didn't I just tell you that baby couldn't do anything? The baby couldn't do anything. God was doing, the mother does everything. God put it here for the Christian. It's easy to understand. You see it. You see it, right? And so Paul is about to get into this, and I wish I could. I'm going to try and lay this open a little bit to the best. God help me. Paul says in verse 8, for you were once darkness. Does anyone in here remember darkness? My God, my God. Oh, Jesus. I remember when I didn't know Jesus. I remember the thoughts that would go through my mind when I didn't know Jesus. I remember watching television, and you know how they have the people on the commercial, they smiling. They can be smoking and everything, dying of lung cancer, but they're on there. And when I didn't know Jesus, I would watch TV and think, man, those people got the life, and I don't have any life. This is, you know, everything's horrible with me, but everyone else. Come on, did anyone ever feel like everybody else is having the time of their life, but I'm the only one? They on there smiling. They got the pretty girlfriends, and they got the car, they got the nice house, and look at me. Look at me, this sad, pitiful thing, you. Come on. That's the way, you know, those are the thoughts that I thought they were living. You know what I'm saying? And come to find out, I remember being in darkness. For you were once darkness. Paul addressed that in Ephesians 4, 17 and 19 earlier, which says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So because their understanding was darkened, they were living in a darkened way. This behavior, the works of darkness, characterizes the world that we live in. And so what did we just have on? The Grammy or Academy Award? They just did some awards thing. Was it the Grammys? Okay. So you look there, everybody all dressed up. They're sitting there looking all pretty and fine and handsome and everything. And smiling and everything. You're looking at that. And if you were in the world, you're like, oh, why couldn't I be like that? Why couldn't I be like that? And then 2 weeks later, the person who's on the show goes home and blow their brains out. And you're sitting there going, why can't I be like that? Why can't I be like that? No, no, no. You have no idea. You have no idea. But we used to live this way. We used to live this way. But remember, Paul said, let him who stole steal no more. Let him rather work with his hands that he might have extra, some to give to somebody else. But 10 years, 11 years now ago, I hired a Christian for my business, 2006. Sent him to clean something. And the next day, he said, you better come and get your truck. I said, what's wrong? Well, I didn't clean the job. Why not? Because they wouldn't let me in. Lying. But you got to come get your truck. I go down to Arlington, get my truck. This person, this so-called Christian, stole over $6,000 worth of my business equipment. Just stole it. And I took him to court and did the whole thing. And he lying straight up through his teeth. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, Jesus. I mean, I was telling Kweku yesterday, I said, brother, was I angry? Oh, my goodness, I had to get the Father help me. Because it was that sort of situation. Remember the stories I shared with you last week about the pastors here and there and everywhere who were living like they didn't know God. Living like they didn't know God. And so is all of this being influenced, the Christians, by the ways of the world, by those who are in darkness. But if Christians lived as children of light, the world would see that Jesus is alive. If we did what Paul said here, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Can you imagine Christians who don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, not greedy? Come on. Who behave themselves according to the Spirit of God? That's what Paul was writing here. So why is Paul telling us to live differently? It is because we aren't who we used to be. We aren't who we used to be. Our Father is the Father of lights. James 1:17 tells us that. He's the Father of lights. Says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's our Father. And what we have to come and understand is this, is that we are to live up to our identity in Christ Jesus. We are to live up to our identity in Christ Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, excuse me, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, you were bought with a price and you are not your own. Some of the most transformative words in the New Testament. You were bought with a price, and you are not your own. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit tell you that? You are not your own, son. Oh, shake you to your core. Get a hold of you. And so Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, tells them how to live based upon who they are. How to live based upon who they are. Where does it start? It starts with who God is. Who we are starts with who God is. Okay? 1 John 1, 5. John tells us this is the message which we have heard from him, from Christ, And we declare to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Now remember our text. Ephesians 5 verse 8. But now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Then he says, walk as children of light. You can't walk as children of light until you understand that you are a child of light. Okay? So what God, he makes you, then he tells you to do. It's back to what I always say. God works first, and then he tells us to work. So he makes us children of light, then he commands us to walk in the light. Why? God will never tell you to do what you cannot do. He will not tell you to do what he won't give you the ability to do. So when he tells us to walk as children of light, it is because he's already made us children of light. So 1 John 1, 5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God made his children in his image. Well, then if God is light, it agrees with Ephesians 5, 8 that we are light in the Lord. We are light in him. Come on. Apart from him, we're nothing. We have nothing. Our goal then is to live up to what God made us for. That's our goal. If God says I'm a child of light, then I need to walk as a child of light. I need to walk as a child of light. 1 John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without, all things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that is made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him, in Christ, in the Word made flesh, was life, and the life was the light of men. So when you and I were made alive in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, 1, and you who were dead in trust, you he's made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When he made us alive, he also made us the light. And the life of Christ was the light of men. So there's light in you. Hello. There's light in you. More so than we even know. Some of you will remember Teresa Smith, who used to attend here. I'll never forget the day she came to a prayer meeting. And she said, the strangest thing happened to me today, this evening. It was in the wintertime, so because it was dark early, as we would have prayer. She'd come to church, and she said, I was walking into a store right up here in Chantilly, and a woman came across the parking lot and said to me, you are glowing. And she says, she looked at the woman and said, what are you talking about? She says, there's a light around you. She says, I saw it all the way over there. You're glowing. And this woman wouldn't leave her alone. She says, I've never seen this before, but you're glowing. There's a light. And I remember Teresa, I'll never forget her sharing that in a Tuesday or back then Wednesday prayer meeting. And it just illuminated the word of God. That not only that light, if you will, that Moses glowed because of he was in the presence of God. Well, this woman actually saw a light fixed about her. Not only did that happen to her, but a pastor friend in New York went into a 7-Eleven. Just to buy some bubble gum or some mints. He's at the cash register checking out. And a man comes through the door. And when he comes through the door, he immediately falls on his knees and starts crying and says, you convict me of sin. What must I do to be saved? That happened to a pastor friend of mine. And because of God's presence. So we are light in the Lord. Then our heart should be to want to live up to the identity that I am or have in Christ and not like the world. But we have a problem because the world is always pressing in against us. It's trying to tell us how to dress, how to think, how to talk, how to live. the world, and all of its darkness is constantly pressing in on us. But how many of you know that darkness never overcomes light? Light always dispels darkness. Amen? And so that's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. But we have a decision to make. We have a decision. Paul lays it out right here. He says, you are children of light. But then he says, you walk as children of light. You can, you know, you can be one thing, but live another way. You can be a son of the king or daughter of the king, but live as a pauper. Okay? And so we have to live up to our identity in Christ. So how do we become, how did we become children of light? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul saying the same God who spoke the worlds into existence. And when he said, let there be light, guess what? Light came. It just was. He said, and there was light. God saw and it was good. And so when God looked at us in our darkness, in Ezekiel chapter 16, I love the imagery of the one who was this baby wallowing in its own blood with no one to care for it, to cut its umbilical cord, to rub it with salt, and to care for this child. It was Israel, and God walked by it. When he walked by it, he said to Israel, live. And when he said live, Israel came into being. And that's what God did to you and I. In the deadness and darkness of our own sin, God simply spoke a word. And when he spoke that word, life came into you and I. It wasn't dependent on what we did or who we were. It was solely dependent on the God who creates all things by the words of his mouth. And he spoke. He spoke the word. And we came into being. So for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are light in the Lord because he spoke to our darkness and created light in us. That's what God did on the day you and I don't know when he did it. I mean, I don't know how he did it. You know, it's mysterious. It's like the wind. He said, when someone's born of the Spirit, it's like the wind. You don't see it when it comes. You don't see it when it goes. But you sure know it's there. You sure know it's active, right? Amen. And so God speak and we came and spoke and we came to life. We see this in the life of Saul. We can see it in the New Testament, the Saul who became the Apostle Paul. In three different instances, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26, Paul, in Acts chapter 9, Luke recounts what happens to Paul. In Acts 22, Paul is testifying before the Jews. They were trying to kill him, and he's testifying how he saw light from heaven. Then in Acts chapter 26, Paul is testifying to King Agrippa, and he's giving another account. But I want to go to Acts chapter 26, verse 12, where Paul says this. He was on the road to Damascus with letters from the high priest to lock up these people from the way, as it was called. And he says, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, midday is very important. That's when the sun is brightest, right? That's noontime. Midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven. Listen, brighter than the sun. Amen. Now, how many stars do we have in our solar system? I'm sorry, in our solar system, not our universe, not our galaxy, but our solar system. We have one star in our solar system. It's our sun. It's our sun. Paul says, I saw a light brighter than the sun. Now, we have one star. That light was no other star. It wasn't just another star passing through. Just like to submit that. He says, I saw a light brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, this light was so bright that it knocked Paul and all of his comrades off their horses to the ground, knocked them to the ground. Remember 1 John 1:5, God is light. God is light. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. The light that Paul saw was no other than Jesus Christ himself. Himself. And I have to say this, that the light that Paul saw, Jesus had to dial it back. He had to dial it way back, okay, just to knock Paul and his comrades off the horse. We're children of light now. I'm trying to show you that we're like him. See, we're children of light, and he is light. Now, lest you think, I mean, we see the light here, and we like, you know, lights are pretty. Can you touch light? Can you? Is it tangible? I can't get a hold to it. Looks pretty weak, doesn't it? Looks pretty weak. Visible light. But when you go into the, now this is, I would need to turn this over to Bill to talk to you about the electromagnetic spectrum. But light, visible light, the light we see is a very small on this spectrum. It goes farther down and it goes way up, okay? And so I thought I'd get on the internet and find out a little bit. You know what a laser is, right? Laser is basically, it's light. It's a beam of light. And you say, well, light's pretty weak. Except for the United States took a laser that they have, and they had a truck a mile away, a Ford F-150, like what you have, David. And the engine was running in the truck, and they turn on this weapons-grade laser. It's just lasers, just light, not much, you know. And they turned it on. And from a mile away, this laser, in a few seconds, burned a hole through the engine, burned a hole all the way through the truck, all the way through the truck in a matter of seconds, just in a matter of seconds. The United States government did that with a weapons-grade laser. It was just particle beams, you know, electrons of this light that's coming out. And so, yet Paul was knocked off his horse by this bright light. Remember when Jesus went upon the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and the scripture says he was transformed or transfigured before them to such a white light that it was absolutely brilliant. And there too, Jesus had to dial it back because he could not release all of who he is, because no man shall see God like that and live. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, it says, Ananias went his way. Remember, the Lord said to Ananias, go pray for this man Saul. Ananias said, no, Lord, he's a bad man. And the Lord said, no, go. And so Ananias goes, and he entered the house laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road? Who appeared to you on the road? Ananias is letting Saul, who became Paul, know that great bright light you saw, that was Jesus. Wait a second, I thought Jesus walking around, he got nail scars in his head. Listen, I'm telling you, you don't know him. We haven't seen him in all of his glory. Let me tell you something, Jesus, we like to put Jesus in his little box. Yeah, I know Jesus, he does this, he does that, and he does, I'm sorry. Well, how come he just didn't float down out of glory? This little, you know, soft Jesus float down. Hi, Saul. Hello. No, why come he didn't come like that? These soft Jesus we see. Hi, no, he comes, bam, knocks him off the horse and everything. On the ground. You got to read the Chronicles of Narnia. The boy and his horse. Was it the boy and his horse? When the lion's chasing, when Aslan, this lion, they didn't say it was Aslan, but this lion comes and he scratches the girl, you know, from behind. And C.S. Lewis wrote, says, he's good, but he ain't tame. Come on. He's good, but he ain't tame. Don't you think you can tame him? Don't you think you can control him? No. And so, not only does Ananias describe the light that Saul saw to the Lord Jesus, But further down in Acts chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road." So you had Ananias prophesying, knew nothing about Paul, Saul seeing the Lord, but he comes in and prophesies and says, Saul, the Lord sent me, whom you saw on the road. Then Barnabas takes him and delivers him from the Jews. And he says that Saul had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus. So Barnabas confirms that that great light that Paul saw was actually the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of light. We are children of light. We are not the creator of that light, but we do have a responsibility to walk in that light. Is that right? Let me read it again. Ephesians 5, verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." We're not responsible. We're not the creators of the light, but he says, walk as children of light. We are responsible to walk in the light. That agrees with 1 John 1, 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light." We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. That's true, church, because if you and I are walking as Christians now, if we're walking in the light together, we have fellowship one with another. But if I determine that I'm going to walk in sin, guess what? We're not going to be having fellowship. No, because one, why? Because what fellowship has light with darkness? We're going there. We're going there, right? "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Not only do we have fellowship one with Christ, but we have fellowship one with another. Now, "and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." But we, as I said, we still must choose to walk with him in the light. And the thing about it is that it's not rocket science. Because being children of the light, you have the light dwelling in you. It never leaves you. That's why the moment you go to do something a little iffy, I'm not even talking about something wrong. I'm talking something a little iffy. Something down here gets all queasy and messed up and go, I ain't feeling that. Don't do that. And you know, on the inside, you know. And then you hear the fence right here, their defense, and you're looking at it, you going, how close? And you know, no, but then you be like, then some folk be like, woo, you know. No, but the Holy Spirit on the inside, the Spirit of truth, who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's always bearing witness with your spirit. The Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, right? That same Spirit who bears witness that we are children of God, anytime we then begin to get close to acting like we're not children of God, the same Spirit who bears witness that we are children of God say, nope, that ain't child, that ain't God. No, God didn't make you for that. He didn't make you for that. Run away from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Oh, yeah. Now, let me say something here. Whenever you hear that scripture, where do we all automatically go? With marriage. That's where you first hear it. That whenever you hear it, but, and that's a right application, don't get me wrong, but Paul's not talking about marriage here. He's talking about relationships in general. He's talking about believers and unbelievers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about being in a binding agreement with an unbeliever. He's talking about relationships. So, and he's speaking about binding relationships between believers and unbelievers. For instance, business partnerships are binding. And so would it be wise for me as a believer to go into a contractual agreement with an unbeliever Okay? So that when the business funds come flowing in, all of a sudden, my unbelieving friend says, you know, well, I want to donate some money to this abortion clinic over here, and I want to donate some money to this gay event, and I want to donate to the atheist, and I want to donate, and all the proceeds from the business now are going to things that I don't believe in that. Well, I don't go that way. Yeah, but you want a binding agreement now. You made a contract. And Paul is saying, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, anybody know what a yoke is? So you've seen a yoke. It's interesting how Paul words this because on the one hand, so when I thought about yoke, the first thing I thought about, when you're young, everybody ever been in a three-legged race? Okay, you know what a three-legged race is, right? Two people stand side to side, and they tie your two legs together, and you got your leg, this double leg, and this leg, and you got to get down the road, okay? Now, that's what it's like to be yoked together. You got to start working. Now, so back in the day, they would yoke an ox with an ox, and those two oxen would pull the plow. They would be yoked together, and they would walk in the same way, right? But if you yoked an oxen with a donkey, you know what a donkey good for. He going to sit down. Okay? And so here the ox trying to pull. You got the donkey sitting down, right? And so Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But then, in my mind, he changes drastically because Paul says this. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? Now, Paul done gone from a yoke to a tug of war. Because light and darkness is not a three-legged race. It's not running this way. Light going that way and darkness is going that way. Righteousness is going this way and unlawlessness is going that way. It's two different things. And Paul is saying the same thing when he talks about this with being yoked with unbelievers. He's saying, believers, you're going this way and unbelievers are going that way. And so he says, do not be unequally tied. Don't be yoked to them. Okay? So not only that, but making a promise to be or to do something. Is that binding? For the Christian, it is. For the Christian, it is. Okay? And then obviously come down to marriage. Marriage is binding, church. Marriage is binding. Young lady, young man, let me ask you a question. How do you get your unbelieving date to connect with you regarding your passion and love for Jesus? How do you get them to connect with you on a spiritual level? I'm going to answer your question for you. You don't. You can't. Why? Because they're dead to God. They're dead to God. So if you're in a relationship with someone who is not a believer, and don't get me wrong, because we can dig into that too, because even within Christian camps, you can be unequally yoked. Hello? You can run up on a Christian. He say, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. And he's like, what type of believer are you? What do you believe in? You can run into that too and be unequally yoked. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't come home and talk to my wife about Jesus, because he's always on my mind. All day long, he's on my mind. When I come home, baby, I got to tell you what Jesus, the Holy Ghost, did today. Let me tell you, I know it's real. I know he's real. And so I talked to her about my relationship with the Lord. I don't care how fine you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care. Look, if I can't talk to you about Jesus, we ain't even talking. We can't even go there. If we can't pray together, come on, we can't go there. So that answers, listen, young people, that will fix a lot. It'll cut out a whole lot of foolishness you never even have to deal with. If you just say, you know what? If you don't love Jesus, I'm sorry. We can be friends. Hey, how you doing? Hey. But look, because let me tell you something. The day coming, when you're going to need that young lady, when you're going to need that young man, pray for me. He's going to look at you sideways and go, who? What? Pray? Pray to who? Pray to what? Uh-uh. No. So just get it settled. Get it settled. And here's what will happen. God will honor you.
Yes, he will.
Listen, you his baby girl. You his, I'm not going to say baby boy, you know, fellas. You his son. See, my girl is my baby girl all day long. She'd be 90 years old. She's still my baby girl. But that's not my baby boy. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that may be my... Now, if Daphne was speaking, she may say that's my baby boy. But no. That's my boy right there. That's my man right there. Okay, so I fixed that right. So what I'm saying, though... what I'm saying is that will fix a lot for you. God will go before you and provide for you in ways you could not imagine. I'll tell you, the prophet, when Daphne sat down in the chair, the prophet came up to her and said, you've been faithful to the Lord. The Lord gonna reward you. Ow. Here it is. Hey, yes. Hey, fix it. I'm telling you right now. He gonna fix it. He gonna put it right. You wait on him. Now, I'm just having fun. I'm having fun. But listen. Because, listen, it's about the years that you're going to spend together. Because God wants someone who's going to be faithful to you and who's going to honor his word to you. Because God said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God wants to bless both you, young man, and you, young lady, with someone who will say, I will never leave you and mean it and keep their word. Okay? So here we are, right? What communion does light have with darkness? None whatsoever. So we're to live in a manner that shows that you are, that we are holy, righteous, and true, according to verse 9 of Ephesians 5, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 reads, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Whose you are determines how you live. So we need to be, this, now you get that when you spend time in the Word of God. God doesn't tell us to read the Word because he's watching to make sure we're keeping a commandment. He tells us to read the Word because when we read the Word, we're transformed into its image. When we read the Word, we are transformed into its image. That's why we read. Okay? So, 1 Peter verse 2, chapter 2 rather, 1 Peter 2:9 reads this way, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I'm trying to tell you who you are, who you are. Now, let me tell you, when I read that, I said to myself with tears in my eyes, God, I ain't never been chosen. No one ever chose me. Come on, y'all. Who had played basketball? I'm telling you, I'm just going to go there and tell you. I was on the court when they picked the teams. I know, Dan, you were never picked last. Dan 6'4". You know, Dan probably first one, not one him. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but I was there when we picked the teams. And they picked, said, give me him. And they picking. And here you the last one. Here you, don't laugh so hard, y'all. Here you the last one. There ain't nobody choosing you. And you sitting there looking, oh, dear. Don't nobody want me. Say, I ain't never been chosen. Anybody know what it means? I mean, I know when it says you are a chosen generation. I was not chosen. I ain't never been royal. Hello? A royal priesthood? Holy? Holy? I wasn't holy. I wasn't holy. God knows I wasn't special. But listen what the word says about you and I. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm talking about who you are, a holy nation, his own special people. Diane, if you ain't been to Tuesday prayer, you ain't heard Diane say this. But I've heard Diane say this so many times now. She says, God always makes me feel like I'm so special. I'm the only one he talking to when he ministers to me. Why? Because it's true. We are his own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, when it gets a hold of you, when it truly, when you truly understand and the doors of revelation are thrown open concerning you and this, when God comes to you, you say, I chose you, daughter. I chose you, Lord Jesus. When you're sitting in prayer all by yourself, ain't nobody there, no fanfare, no lights, no whistles, no nothing. And God comes down and he wraps you up. My God, it says, I chose you, son. I said, hey, that's all I need. I said, my God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, because that's what he does. He says, I chose you. I made you royalty. I made you holy. I made you holy. Listen, when all of that happens, when all of that is realized, guess what then you do? Is what Peter says right here. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. No one will tell you have to. No one will say, would someone please stand up and testify? No one will have to be at work saying, I wish there was a Christian around here I could find who loved Jesus. Mm-mm, won't be any of that. Because you will be proclaiming the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Brother, that's why you there at that school, brother. Because you are a beaming light. Man, you're just far and wide. The light of heaven is being diffused by the Spirit of God in you, brother. That's, I'm telling you, that's happening. Because of we went there. We saw how people loved him and treasured him because of the light of God is working in his life. And so then, this praise comes out of us who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so how did that calling happen? It happened the same way as in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus just walking, been baptized, and he's walking by the seashore and he sees Peter and Andrew and he says, follow me. He called them. Guess what they did? They dropped everything and they followed him. Goes on down a little further, sees James and John with his father Zebedee in the boat. They're working on their nets. And the scripture says Jesus called them. And when he called them, they left their father and the fishing business that was going to be theirs. The father had a boat. He had a bit. They left all of that and said, we're coming. How does it start? It starts with the call when Jesus calls you. Amen. So we're to walk. We're to walk as children of light, which means to live in such a way or conduct yourselves in the proper manner, the manner of that which the light of Christ has brought to us. So, verse 9, verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Not only are Christians not to partake in the dark deeds of the disobedient, but they are to expose and uncover them. How do we expose and uncover what's going on in the darkness? It's very simple. By walking in the light. You say, do I have to do anything special? Mm-mm, no. Just walk in the light. When someone asks you a question, just tell them the truth. When you tell the truth, it's going to scatter people who are in darkness running for they're running for cover. They're literally running for cover. I'm serious. All you do is just tell the truth. Okay? And so Paul goes on, verse 12, he says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. And so I could get into a whole bunch, but I'm not going to do that. Let me read what one commentary says about this passage of Scripture. Christians, by conducting themselves as children of light, expose the deeds of darkness. These deeds, however, refer to the deeds of other believers who are not walking in the light. This is because only God can expose and convict unbelievers' deeds. Now, you remember, what are you talking about, Pastor? Remember last week I said that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 5, he said, and I said to you that some people say when a pastor falls that we aren't to judge. They're like, don't touch my bishop. He's perfect, you know. Do my prophets no harm. Do not touch God's anointed, so forth and so on. So he's like, don't judge those who are in the church, where actually Paul tells us to judge those in the church. Okay? And he says that God will judge those who are without, but we are to judge those who are within. And so when sin abounds in the church, it has to be judged. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so that's why, let me finish reading this. Believers, on the other hand, can expose evil deeds among other Christians within the church. This the Corinthians failed to do. And it's referencing 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which reads, Paul says, it is commonly reported to me that there be fornications among you. Such fornication, know that is not named even among the Gentiles that a man should have his father's wife. And so, and Paul goes on and he says, and you, instead of, you are puffed up and not have, you haven't repented that this person be removed from you. So Paul went on and said, listen, there's fornications in the Corinthians church. Instead of you having repented and mourning over the sin in your midst, you are rejoicing. You haven't even removed the man out of your midst. So he continuing in his sin. If there's ever open, unrepented sin in this church, we will have to deal with it. Why? Because if we let it go, it's going to infect every other member of the church. This goes on in churches all the time. Okay? And this is why Paul, some of the reasons why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, that we are not to engage in these deeds, and we are to walk as children of light, and the light will expose the darkness. Why? Because if you walk in the darkness being a Christian, Paul said earlier, then you will be partakers of the judgment. And so Paul said that the Spirit of God doesn't want you to partake of the judgment. And that's why we're to judge anyone, so that they will repent of their sin and get back into walking in the light. Is that understandable? Amen. That is love. That is love. So as we leave here today, we do so to live up to our identity in Christ by walking as children of light. My prayer for you is and has been and will always be that we will live up to our identity in Christ. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for divine truth. And we thank you, O God, that by the word of God, we are being transformed, Lord, into your image and into your likeness. And we thank you, O God, that your word says, every son that you receive, you scourge. Every son that you receive, you chastise. Every child that you receive, O God, Lord, you bring them, O God, into a place of conformity and change in their life, that we all might be partakers of your holiness. And Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your commitment, Lord, to seeing us changed into your image and your likeness. May your word find its place deep within our hearts to bring change into our lives. And Lord, may we rejoice in it all the day long, we pray in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you real good.